When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
And...
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 1988 Disney TV movie, 14 Going on 30, starring Stephen Eckhold and Daphne Ashbrook, where a 14-year-old boy uses his friend's growth accelerator to transform into his older self in order to win the affections of his homeroom teacher. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So... on to 14 Going on 30. This was released in the great body swap boom of 1988, which gave us films like Big, Vice Versa, 18 Again, and Like Father, Like Son. Unlike those films, this has been mostly forgotten and isn't available to stream or purchase anywhere in the world. Did it deserve this fate, or should this sit alongside its body swap contemporaries?
Oh, probably not. There's some real heavy hitters in that list that you said. This wasn't the worst one we've ever watched, but I can see why it might have been forgotten, maybe. What about you guys?
Before you guys speak anymore, I gotta say, if you guys say one more bad thing about this film, I'm gonna start Jack and Jaws because I had a great time.
I have to say, Brendan, I completely agree with you. And I, like, fucking love this movie. I loved this movie.
I mean, I did have fun. And there's one thing in particular that I definitely want to talk about.
Oh, there's a big hole in this film.
Yeah. But when I made this podcast, this was the kind of films, like, I was hoping to discover.
Sure.
Like a film I've never heard of before, but this like 80s fun vibe and just pure fun watch. Went for 120 minutes and then like didn't outstay its welcome. Like I wanted it to keep going even. you know, random dance numbers and there's like genuinely like lovely characters and this movie was so good.
I loved everything you had to say. Like, I might disagree with a lot you have to say because, like, I don't think
you're Brandon. Yeah,
like the main guy Danny is not a good person. There's not actually a lot of good characters, but I had a great time watching them.
Yeah.
go through these like minefields of like situations. So yeah.
If they're not good, they're fun.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
there's no boring characters that we have to spend a lot of time with in this film.
I gotta say, like Adam Thicke gets an opening credit, and he's in the film for like 1 minute.
Yeah, well, it was like a special appearance by Alan Thicke, wasn't it?
Oh.
Or was it? No, sorry, it was a special appearance by Patrick Duffy, and Alan Thicke got an actual credit.
Can you guys fill me in on who Patrick Duffy was?
He was the dad in Step by Step, the sitcom Step by Step in the 90s.
So who was he in the movie?
When Danny is watching the old timey movie, it was actually a fake movie.
Yes.
And like Home Alone. Playing. I thought it was a fake old movie.
Good yellow belly. Right.
And the second thing that was like Home Alone, because this film predates Home Alone and uses the gag where he puts like a silhouette of a person on a train track and makes the shadow in the window. And this came out 2 years before Home Alone did.
Oh, they're just ripping off Canadians, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Can you just not believe the difference? Like, obviously, we watched this movie on YouTube. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. I mean, if they're not going to give it to us, like, on any legitimate platform, then fuck them.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we literally couldn't watch it any other way. So we can't say, oh, I have a... Sorry, guys. We bought a DVD on eBay.
No, it never got released on DVD. It only got released on VHS.
We got a box of VHS.
Yeah, we got it on VHS eBay. And we bought a VHS player to watch it. Yeah. But, you know, the way Home Alone just looks like beautiful and warm and whatever, this just looks so bad. It could not have looked worse.
Yeah. But I feel like if there was, like, a HD remaster, it wouldn't actually look that bad.
I don't reckon it would.
I think that's the charm of this one, though. Like, it's all the contraptions in the boy genius's lab, Lloyd, you know? Like, it's just so homely.
Lo-fi.
Yeah.
So, I feel like what's going to happen is Brendan is going to say, I really liked it. And then talk shit on it, or you know how he kind of does that normally, or maybe it's usually the other way around. Because there's a lot of things that I want to discuss that I've got issues with.
There's a lot of problematic elements.
But it's problematic because it definitely is. But I just feel like it's kind of just like story issues with the story and whatnot. Just in terms of like the way it was written, not even the fact that it's messed up on many levels. But should you do the plot?
Yeah, sure. So I want to do the timer. For newcomers to the podcast, this is where I try to sum up the plot of the film in 30 seconds. And I very rarely succeed.
Okay, ready, set, go.
So Danny is in love with his teacher. His best friend is making an invention that accelerates growth in vegetables. Then he uses the invention to make himself into an older person. And then he's mistaken as the new principal of the school. He romances the teacher and gets her to break up with the mean coach. And then at the end, he decides to go back into a 14-year-old boy. And then she realizes what's happened and decides become a 14-year-old girl.
Which would be a whole nother subject to talk about.
So this film is essentially about a boy pretending to be a man to romance the teacher that he has a crush on, and he succeeds.
His whole initial plan isn't to romance the teacher. It's just to convince her to break up with the other guy, which is like, what red-blooded teenage boy is like, well, now I'm in an adult man's body and I can get the woman that I want and I'm just going to be like, you shouldn't date that guy. Like, that's plot, like issue number one that I have.
And this opportunity to be the principal, because the new principal's coming next week, but there's like rumors that he comes to the school a week early to like suss it out.
Yeah.
And it just happens to like fall in his lap. And this is where like I took a real turn on who I thought Danny was, because the first thing he says about this is he says, not only am I an adult, I'm her boss.
I know.
Think of the implications.
Pest, me too much.
Predator. Yes, I know. Terrible.
But this is one of the very few situations where it's statutory rape and Me Too at the same time. Like, that's a very rare combo to have.
Yeah.
The fact that he is a 14-year-old boy kind of forgives some of these things. Like,
if a 14-year-old boy and his best friend make a growth accelerator.
Yeah. They're intelligent enough to know better about all these other things.
No, stop. What are 14-year-old boys doing with the growth accelerator?
They're gonna making their dicks big.
Yes.
Well,
I wrote that he's going to get a big old zucchini dick because, you know,
how many phallic symbols was in the
zucchinis first?
Yeah, when he's in the growth accelerator, there's a tomato and a cucumber plant in there, so we get to see the cucumbers the and the tomatoes. The balls,
and also, why didn't it just make him giant? Riddle me that.
No, because it didn't make a seed giant. It actually made it accelerate its growing processes, and so it actually sprouted. Solid logic.
Yeah. So if a tomato grows an extra 5 years, it's not going to become huge like in the film. It would just die.
Yeah, that's where you got him.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And the thing is, his friend, rightly so, does not want to use the growth accelerator on another human. And then he just breaks into the house in the middle of the night and puts himself in there. Mm. And I'm thinking, this could have gone so fucking wrong. He could have become a giant zucchini dick.
Yeah.
Or just exploded.
Yeah. Can we talk about the friend?
Lloyd needed an extra 40 minutes. He needed his own movie.
And did 80s movies lead you to believe that when you were a bit older, you'd have a friend that could invent really good shit?
Yeah.
I just feel like it used to be such a trope. See anymore, but it was just I'm going to be friends with a kid who can invent crazy shit for me. And it never happened.
Well, this reminded me a lot of So You Think Your Parents Were Weird, which also starred Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
That was a lot worse of a movie, but that was kind of a similar thing. 80s inventor children who made a AI robot. Yeah, Lloyd as a character, I just felt for him so much. He's this super intelligent kid who doesn't have parents anymore. And
yeah, don't know. There's obviously a sad story why his parents are no longer there.
Yeah,
and his relatives are kicking him around from family to family. And he's a fucking genius boy.
And also the thing at the end is that he ages himself up so that he could be taken seriously. It's why would you become a teacher? As if you wouldn't just apply for the bloody Nobel Prize out of this one horse town.
We know how teachers are just treated with so much more respect than children.
Yeah, and earn a great salary.
Yeah, especially in America.
Yeah.
He created this thing because he wanted attention. That's the real sad note on this film. And his friend, he talks to his friend. He's this is I could possibly be kicked out and moved on to the next cousins or whatever. Please don't use this. If anything went wrong, I'd be in so much trouble. And he's right. And then his friend has a fucking wet dream. And then he's fuck that, and goes and uses it.
Yeah, I know. That's some shitty friend. That's some friend or foe.
I had a roller coaster with Danny.
Yeah, I felt for Lloyd as well. Because then Danny uses his growth accelerator, destroys it. And then without any thought at all, he's like, all right, you can just stay at home for the next week fixing it, and I'm gonna go to school and have the time of my life. Mm-hmm. And there's no arguments from Lloyd. He just does it.
Yeah, he's just chained to the machine until he's finished. Yeah, I know.
Justice for Lloyd.
Completely.
And not only does he do that, he actually meets the expectation. He actually, I know this is crazy fantasy where he's created a machine that can make things grow, but he also in a week made a machine that could reverse the aging process.
That's on board.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could potentially change everything about
everything.
About like, plastic surgery. Like, that's, yeah. He's like completely, yeah.
Yeah. He's solved world hunger. He's solved aging. Like, people don't have to die anymore.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to become a teacher.
And help some old lady have a relationship with a 14-year-old boy.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to facilitate this statutory Me Too terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, the teacher that he's trying to romance in this film, at the end of this film, decides to become a 14-year-old girl so that she can continue her relationship with this boy.
Who's, like, lied to her for a week and pretended to be the principal. Yeah.
And it's like, what is their life going to be like? Like, how's she going to get money to live?
Where,
like,
is she living? Yeah. She doesn't have parents to go home to.
Yeah, exactly. Unless
she has the plan to, like, use the growth accelerator, like, and keep changing yourself back and forth. So, like, if she ever needs to go to the bank, she just becomes the, you know, older version again. And then,
but how does she get money? This is a deeply flawed. And like you said, it's like she doesn't even know this person. And she's giving up essentially her whole life. It's like worse than Ariel giving up her.
All of them have cancer from being in that machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that it wouldn't be fucking with everything inside of you.
Yeah.
Like, even when they first used it on the tomato and they started eating the tomatoes, I was like, I wouldn't be so willing to just eat that tomato.
No.
Like, but yeah, so Danny becomes the principal of the school and immediately changes every rule about the school, starts playing rock music on the PA system, and which elicits like an impromptu like dance party throughout the entire school.
That was my favorite bit of the movie. That was like a la Ferris Bueller, and it was like, what school is this? This is like the school from Fame, the musical.
Yeah.
It was just like all of a sudden a choreographed dance and like the band is joining in, and it was, I loved it. That was the best bit of the movie for me.
Although like we saw like woodshop, we saw the music class, we saw PE.
Gym.
Like we didn't, I just pictured like all the like math classes where like this principal's like, hey, I'm the new principal and I'm, you know, I'm fun and cool guy, and then chucks on some rock and jams. And then like everyone's like dancing. You're trying to like do math to this fucking like thing in your ear. I don't know if everyone would have been on board.
Yeah, he puts like video games in the library and like takes the bars off the windows, and
vegetables from the cafeteria
and replaces it with pizza instead. And the film posits that these changes actually made the school better and that kids started learning more, and I don't buy it.
Yeah. Like in year 12, we definitely had a subject like that you could do called like small business something. Did you guys have that?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Two guys tried to get a Daytona machine in the year 12, like whatever, and they weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah. You put video games in school. The kids aren't going to study anymore.
Nah.
Kids cannot be trusted.
But also, what is even, like, made me even more, like, incredulous? Is that the word? I don't know. I should have gone to school.
Sounded good, yeah.
I was like, Miss Noble fucking loves this. She's like, oh, my God, this is great. This principal... Every, you know, he's just kicking goals left and right with this progressive education model.
She's just primed to become a 14-year-old again. She's not a serious adult woman. Also, like, the relationship with her and the coach, it's like they had just met.
They were engaged to be married. Yeah.
And she's like, didn't know anything about him. It was really, really bizarre.
Well, when Danny was a 40-year-old boy and she's like, he's questioning their relationship, she's very much like, oh, sometimes you just have to settle. Like, a guy who's like nice and stuff.
As if she'd have to settle.
Wait, we'll save that.
Yeah, but imagine you're a teacher. Your 14-year-old student comes up to you, starts listing all the faults with your fiance, and instead of being like, shut the fuck up, she like agrees with him and is like, yeah, but sometimes that's what you have to do in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, insane. Insanity.
Like, how old was Miss Noble supposed to be?
I'd say like mid-20s, maybe, or late 20s.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, I think she still had some life in her yet to find someone besides, what was the PE teacher's name?
Roy Jackjaw Kelton.
Oh, the Jackjaw thing.
Well, how about this? Were any of you guys ever hot for your teachers?
No. Nah. Yes. There was no good-looking teachers in my life.
No, there was two teachers at my school that, one in particular, I'm not going to say his name, but he was... pretty fucking hot.
There was a teacher who, it wasn't like he was hot, but he was very cool. Like, he was a really tall guy, and he drove like a Volkswagen Beetle. Like, he used to like fold himself up to get in this small car. He was a bit of like a "you are Lisa Simpson" type of teacher. You know what I mean?
This one
sat on a chair like, backwards and shit.
Yeah, well, he was a cool guy.
Yeah, my crush was a bit more of a like
conventional, all right,
buff, or not me, but he was like buff, yeah, or not, he was sexier than Roy, but yeah, he was buff. And I remember at school camp,
forbidden
once,
love,
he was like, we did school camp around this lake, and he was like taking people around on a speedboat in the lake, and he took his shirt off. I was very happy.
I feel like that's, I can't believe he did that.
Well, it was an all-boys school, so, like, you know, you just, like, it's a boy energy. Like, you don't have
kids,
to,
let's wrestle.
Yeah, yeah. But on that note, though, in the film, so he's going
to really dark places.
Well, he's pretending to be the principal, but he also has to make an explanation for the fact that he's not going there as a kid. So he tells the female lead that he's trying to romance.
Miss Noble.
Miss Noble. He tells her that Danny, the kid he actually is, has the measles, and that's why he's not coming in. So then she's like, oh, I'll go check in on him. And then he's like, no, I will go check in on him every day, which, okay, red flag number one. Two, then he's like, I've heard Danny's a really
quite
cool guy.
The looker.
Yes.
And I heard that he's very good looking. And then she's like, oh, you seem quite obsessed with him. Red flag number two. Then later in the film, one of the other kids comes and he's like, I have something I really need to talk to you about. And then they go and they're like whispering to each other in the bushes.
Having a private conversation. I can't talk about this in front of you.
Yeah. Surely this would be, as a teacher, surely these things should be like alarming.
Yeah, but when the principal's a bloody kid, like, there's no checks and balances going on here.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that. She just thinks he's like...
That is the thing. Like I said, Miss Noble is a bit of a dummy, like...
That's why she wanted to be 14 again. She's like, I swear I feel...
I need to start
at peace.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you could not pay me to be 14 again. Okay. Can we just... Also, the biggest problem with this film that I have, the biggest problem.
Yeah.
This movie is called 14 Going on 30.
Yeah.
That
he
is...
He's not 30.
No. I mean, in what world, what team did that get past? And this movie came first, so it could have called it that.
Yeah.
Why didn't they go 13 going on
30? That is like a travesty.
But then, yeah, when he ages up, he's like, oh, how old do you think my body is now? And he's like, I think about 22, 23.
And I'm like, you look 45.
He did not look 45. He looked like
he did not look 22. No, he didn't. He had gray hair.
He did not have grey hair. He was blonde. It was the YouTube film quality.
You try to make excuses for this piece of shit
and that jacket
you love. Also, though, I'll save it for Hot or Not. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Look, let's now take a breath and go to the date.
Yes. So
there's a lot to talk about with this date.
Yeah. So first he tells her, let's go on a dinner that's going to be completely professional so we can talk about work, and I want to hear your ideas about the school.
And she's sus about it, and you can tell she feels a bit uncomfortable about it, but mm-hmm. because he is her boss and
she doesn't want to get fired.
Alarm bell is going off.
She is like obliging, and she's like she's trying to put it out there, strictly professional. Yeah,
they go to this date at it. Well, first he picks her up and she's like, all right, where did you park? And he's like, oh, I didn't have a car. I was hoping to just drive yours. So imagine your date. Or I don't know, I guess it's not a date, but still that is a very strange way to start the evening.
Mm.
Then she's like, can you drive stick? And he's like, sure. And then they go into the car and he clearly can't. So the car's like stopping and starting all the way there.
But in what world do you go, oh, you don't have your car here? Oh, well, you can drive mine because I'm a woman and I've got to sit in the passenger
seat. Yes, I need a chauffeur. Yeah, a chaperone. Yeah.
I don't want to emasculate you by driving you around.
Adrian's like the first guy I ever wanted to date with who had a car. So I've definitely picked up a lot of guys.
I thought a guy lived in one, right?
Yep.
So then they get to the date and it's a fancy fresh French restaurant and he can't read anything on the menu. She suggests that they get the escargot, and when he realizes that's snails, he talks about the time he ate worms. She's still finding it quite charming.
Yeah. It's a bit like him big when, she goes to his house and he's just got, like, toys. And she's like, oh, he's so whimsical.
He's so different.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to berate the waiter because he wants a cheeseburger and they don't make it.
I mean, that's
And
fair.
Then she joins in and insists that this French restaurant bake them both cheeseburgers and fries.
I don't think I've ever used this word, but as someone who works in hospitality, I was triggered. Because you're at a French restaurant, nothing on the menu says French fries and burgers. You're like, can I get some fries and burgers? And like to be so indignant as to be like, yeah, come on, like, customer's always right. Like,
yeah. And, that was a also, scum moment.
She's like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck you, waiter. Get us some hamburgers and fries.
I've definitely been on a date before where the guy sent food back and it was,
awkward as fuck.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then to top off this date, he opens his wallet and he has $1 and a baseball card in there.
And his wallet is like Velcro. It's like rip noise when he opens it. Yeah.
Yeah, which made me laugh a lot. But then she has to pay for the date as well. And she's still happy about it. And then when they're driving home, she decides...
Wait. Before we drive home.
Yeah.
She then proceeds to actually tell her, her boss her ideas of what could actually like benefit the school, and which he is completely not paying attention. He's like, yeah. And like is just switched on to like horny dog mode. And she's very uncomfortable with it. Anyway, sorry, go on. They go to the car.
Yeah, they go to the car and then she decides to drive in the same way he did, stopping and starting, and gets out of the car and she's like, that was so fun.
This is really just a tale of how low the bar is
in this town.
Just for men in general. It's just like, you can just have a fucking dollar to your name. He's like a scrub, literally. Best friends, right? Like,
But this is obviously a fantasy for boys. Like, so that's why a boy can get away with this and the girl is like swooning. Like what I found really disappointing if we're actually going to talk about this film seriously, is that he actually has this opportunity to be on a semi date with this teacher that he was swooning over. And it was quite sweet at the start when he was Danny. But as soon as he was an adult, he just became super obnoxious. And like I said, here's this opportunity for him to actually be on this date with this woman he's been like pining over for years. And she's like actually talking about the things that are important to her because she's really into education. She's into like changing the things up. And he has no interest in listening to her.
Exactly.
And actually knowing who she is. And I feel like that could have actually been, like, if you wanted to actually make a good film rather than, like, a dumb teenage film, like, that would have been a place to start, you know?
When was Ferris Bueller made? Before this?
I feel like it would be around this time.
Because I feel like that sort of a character... Yeah,
it was made 2 years before this.
That sort of a character is Ferris adjacent, but like everybody loves Ferris because he is a good guy. Like even though he is a troublemaker and whatever, like majority of the teachers are charmed by him, and like when the school thinks he's sick, they like make a GoFundMe. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like this was trying to sort of rip that personality. But it's like this guy did not have it. Like you know the way at the start he put in a complaint about the food, and there was like an in tray and an out tray and a tray just for him for all his bullshit that he causes at school. It was kind of like this kid's annoying.
I don't know. I thought he was charming.
Of course you did. Anyway,
see, Brendan is doing that thing where he's saying, I had a good time and I didn't, can't say anything bad about it. And then he said nothing but bad things about it the whole time.
Because I had a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, I love the dance sequence, which again, very Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Did you notice in the school dance, the school band playing at the school dance.
Everybody have fun tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
But they also sang Madonna's Crazy for You.
Yeah.
Which also featured in 13 Going on 30.
There you go.
So I wonder how much of an influence this was on 13 Going on 30.
Not much, I imagine. For starters, they were like, wow, I can't believe we can call it 13 going on 30.
Yeah, I thought surely someone would have called it. Nope, they called it 14 going on 30.
Because, you know, when I was originally searching for it, I truly typed in 14 going on 40 and nothing came up. I was like, what's going on here?
I put in 14 going on 30 and 13 on going on 30 kept popping up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I feel like Google is just trying to be like, surely this is what you mean, Google's right? Like, no one would call a film that.
Obviously made a mistake. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody's looking for this film.
Another film I thought this had a bit of a connection to was the original Jodie Foster Freaky Friday.
With the car chase?
It ends with a car chase, and it also features Dick Van Patten, who plays like the principal in the beginning of this film, was in Freaky Friday. He was also in the Shaggy DA as well, in the scene where the dog stands up and punches the guy in the face.
The best. Have we given him a hot or not? Have we rated him?
I'm pretty sure we gave him knots. Okay. So he could be up for a
change your mind this
triple
time.
Knot.
And where do where does the grandpa and Hot Lips Houlihan fall into the picture? Why is like half the MASH cast in this?
Yeah, two MASH people are in this.
I thought
film.
There was three, but yeah.
Who? Two what?
Well, Louisa the secretary was from MASH.
Oh my god, why do you know who's in MASH? And MASH, the theme song, even just gives me panic attacks and it just gives me anxiety. It reminds me of being a kid and it meant like that it was time to have dinner and it meant that their whole evening was downhill from there, like that it's like dinner, bath, bedtime, and then all the lights will be off and it's going to be dark and like I'll have to be alone with my thoughts. MASH, it's like gives me the absolute willies.
I have like a similar like reaction, like I get anxiety, but it's just like, oh no, I'm going to watch MASH.
did we really hate MASH that much?
I can't believe you guys can name characters except for, like, the one who used to dress in women's clothing and then, like, the main guy. I can't believe you can name anyone in MASH. That is astounding to me. Also, how were there women in MASH? How were there women there?
Hot Lips Houlihan. She was the...
She was a doctor.
Yeah.
But did women go to war like that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Hot Lips Houlihan.
Okay, so you watched MASH, you're saying you have anxiety because you're like, I didn't watch MASH.
I hated every time it came on because I'm like, oh, that means that like The Simpsons is taking a break from TV.
Yeah. Yeah, because it always, well, was it MASH then Simpsons?
People really want to hear this. So in Adelaide, about 20 years ago, MASH used to be on before The Simpsons.
Australian-centric, like, network programming.
Yeah, that we were watching stuff from the 70s.
Because I'm happy to announce that as of today, there are going to be some progressive changes in this school's educational methodology. First off, detention hall has been permanently canceled. There'll be no more hall monitors, no more hall passes. There'll be better food in the cafeteria and dances every month starting this Friday. Beginning today, education is going to be fun, fun, fun.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Lucy.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
Ding. Everyone's
beautiful
in their own way.
So, guys, I have to say, I loved the Brave episode. Good job, guys. I actually got to listen to it. Yeah, it was fun. And also, you guys did Everyone is Beautiful in Their Own Way really well. I was like, wow, I always really drag that out. I'm a real, like, I really got to lighten up during that. And then I tried to do it, and I feel like you guys were the ones that were dragging your feet. So,
sorry.
We could re-record. We'll get there one day. We don't have to put this in the podcast.
Nah, it's done now. So, let's start with one that I think's going to be... I feel like this is going to be an argument. So Stephen Eckhold as adult Danny.
So this is what this is what I was going to say before. I thought he was a dead ringer for who? Place your bets. Who did you think he looked like?
I thought he looked like someone, but I can't remember.
I thought he looked like Chris O'Donnell, who I loved from the 90s.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
So I thought he was fine, even though he had grey hair and was supposed to be 22. But then, yeah, like a shitty person and like kind of me tooing his colleague. But he looked like Chris O'Donnell. Of it. Yeah, he looked like Chris O'Donnell, so that's good for him.
Brendan, hot or not?
When you like. Looking at him from that perspective of like, I think he was a good looking dude. But also like his clothes wasn't helping his,
oh my God, the clothes
personality.
I can't believe they didn't do a shopping montage and he just dressed in
his father's clothes.
And it was like all horrible sport jackets with really, not matching shirts. It was terrible.
Yeah. He looked like a car salesman from like a parody.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be like this heartthrob to the, Miss Noble, as if they didn't take him to the shop.
Well, my perspective is they could have covered him in human feces and I would give him a hot.
Well, you say that entirely too much.
I know, and you just know that it's like on the search engine. You know it's there. Like it's joked about too often to not be real.
Like, he could do no wrong in my eyes. Like, treat everyone like shit, be a piece of shit, be covered in shit. I don't care. You're so goddamn.
The bar is so low. It's the same, but like, it's not just women, it's gay men too. It's just like, he's hot. I'll just take whatever bullshit he throws at me.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I have to just deal with that. That's, you know, the way I see it.
You need therapy about that.
But, yeah, like, hot, like, he is keyboard guy level hot. He is one of the greats.
I think you just also like guys who are a little blurry, because we're always watching these films where like yeah. It's like a 4:3 ratio.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, 360p or something like that. Yeah,
whatever that means.
I think he's just got like a fun energy to him.
Yeah,
he's not a dull person.
Like, 14-year-old boys are the worst people going around. No way.
But he was an old soul even as a kid.
Yeah, like, old soul's not a thing. You can't say that.
I liked him way better as a 14-year-old boy, but also like you say, he was like fun. Like he was like the way he dealt with the principal. He like was trying to like systematically break him like from every angle, like in a very malicious and evil way.
Do you mean with the PE teacher?
Yeah. Mm. Like never using his name right. Like it was some alpha dog shit. He's listening to Andrew Tate.
Yeah, and how many times have you ever had
Stop
a job
mentioning Andrew Tate on the podcast?
Have you ever had someone start at your work? And, like, you've been there forever and it's, like, their first day and they come in swinging with all this shit. Like,
yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, fuck you. Like, I've been here forever. Like, you can't. That just makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, but if their version of coming in swinging was, like, starting a giant impromptu dance party, I'd be like, I'll deal with it. Like,
that's
really
cool.
You're, like, trying to do inventory and, like... like do the roster and it's like dance break, you're like, I think you'd be like, fuck off.
Well,
like,
hopefully
that's
someone
like someone who comes
this.
Into a party and is like, hey, we're all listening to my playlist.
Yes, like, exactly.
Daphne Ashbrook as Miss Peggy Noble. Hot or not,
so beautiful.
She was stunning.
Yeah.
And, like, as stupid as she was, seemed like a genuinely lovely person.
And I also
as well.
Feel like it's just that thing of just, like, conditioning to just accept, like, whatever bullshit men throw at you and be like, I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, justice for her, but also she knowingly had a relationship with a 14-year-old. So. Rat roll.
Brendan, hot or not?
I guess all I can say is she could be covered head to toe in shit. And I would still be in love with her.
You guys need to, like, get some new fetishes. Just, like, regular ones. Like, what about, like, a nice bikini or something, you know?
Well, no, she was like, it was definitely the teacher vibe. Like, I would have fallen in love with her.
And she kind of had like a semi Princess Diana hair, like when it was like tussled the right way, you know, that real kind of 80s.
Some volume, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, like just, you know, before I saw like into her life and how sad it was, like as a teacher, like she was just very empathetic and she was very like, you know, she had a lot of care and stuff for her students.
Yes, these are attractive qualities.
And yeah, and she was slamming hottie.
Yeah. You actually just reminded me, I totally forgot this song existed. Do you remember that song from the 2000s, That's What I Go to School For?
No.
You have to you sing a few bars.
I'm just thinking of Hot the Teacher.
That's what I go to school for, even though it's a real bore. Yes. How can you not know this song?
I remember that.
I don't know.
Okay. After this, we have to listen. That's my tenuous. No, it isn't. It isn't. All right. Let's do some friend or foes. Lloyd as the like the best friend, Lloyd, played by Adam Carl.
So justice for Lloyd. Mm-hmm. And I'd be his friend. He solidly worked on that contraption for his friend that was like pretty not a great friend. I'm jumping the gun there, but he just did that.
And yeah, we've also all had friends who've been like, you know, overly like keen in there in that phase. And for him to just have the maturity to be like, that's not who Danny is, you know, and to just like, I'll work at this and I'll be there for him on the other end. Solid bloke.
Yeah. Mm. I think like, you know, obviously, you know, we've got like keyboard guy as the ultimate hot. I think we have to have Lloyd as like ultimate friend. Because like
the fuck out of him.
Yeah. He not only is going to solve all the problems of society and humanity as a whole,
yeah.
He's just like the best person, best friend you could possibly ask.
He'd be a good person to know for sure.
I'd be the friend in his life who's giving, you know, like he needs a friend who's actually like there for him, like, and I'd be that guy.
Yeah.
If he'd let me.
Okay. Dial it down now.
All right. How about Gabrielle Olds as young Danny?
Yeah, I would not be his friend. He's annoying, troublemaker. He was not Ferris Bueller. It's not for me.
I think he was actually like a little more innocent, like, you know, his, you know, shtick of like, oh no, like she's not in, like there must be something wrong today. Like it was a lot more innocent and sweet than.
Yeah, but the I feel like he only had that concern, like, because he had a Major Jones for it. He had no concern for his actual best friend.
Yeah, yeah. But
it wasn't like, know, oh, sorry about how you're an orphan or whatever, and you're living with like your grandma who has dementia, and yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm going to give him I'm going to give him a partial friend. Like, I'd like to hang out with him, but he's not the friend that I would go to if I was in a jam.
Yeah, or, he's not a Lloyd. Like, you know?
Yeah, he's not a Lloyd, but who is a Lloyd, really? And so we need to do a couple of hot or nots because we have got a couple of people that have appeared in some of the movies we've done previously, so they have the opportunity to be double knotted and triple knotted. So Alan Thicke, who played the principal that comes at the end, who also appeared in So You Think Your Parents Were Weird, and I'm pretty sure we all knotted him in that film. So are we going to repeat that here?
I just feel like with Alan Thicke, I feel like he's a robot. Like, I feel like I see him in all these different decades and he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, it is quite strange, isn't it?
And, like, is he a game show host? Because that's the vibe he really gives off.
I feel like he might be.
I actually think he is.
He started on, like a music television show, kind of like a early video hits MTV kind of thing. I'm pretty sure that's his origins. I might be making this up.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem cool. He doesn't seem cool enough to be like MTV. It's not like Kurt Loder or whatever.
But yeah, whenever I see him, I just picture a turtleneck and like a light bulb sitting on top of that with like straight hair. And that's not for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Alan.
Meanwhile,
you're getting a double knot.
You know, tremendous career. You've done a lot with what you got.
Yes, and you've birthed such a lovely son as well.
I don't think.
Is he the guy who sings the song?
Yes.
Is that why?
Yeah, Blurred Thick. Lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rapey song. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And finally, Dick Van Patten as the original principal. So I'm pretty sure we nodded him in Freaky Friday and the Shaggy DA. Is this a triple header?
I also feel like he's just been the same age his whole life as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, I'm sorry.
Look, he's a talented comedic actor.
Yes.
I always welcome his presence. Would I want him in my bed sucking my dick? No.
Neither would I. And
what if he was smeared in shit?
Smeared in shit, you say?
Snails are always in season.
Snails? Oh, of course. Oh, I know about snails. Got plenty of them in our front yard.
You've had escargot before, haven't you, Mr. Poindexter?
Of course. Of course. I ate a handful of worms once, too, on a bed. Won $5.
Oh, when was that?
Oh, last summer.
Last summer?
I mean, last summer 20 years ago.
So, now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of 14 going on 30 from across the interwebs. So, I actually did have to search across the interwebs because there wasn't many reviews of this film on Letterboxd.
I'm surprised. It just felt like one of those films where someone watched it as a kid. Like, I remember watching, like, The Peanut Butter Solution, and that, like, is, like, seared into my brain.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever seen it, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's great. It's this movie about a kid who... He goes bald, and so they smear peanut butter on his head, and then his hair starts growing, but it grows too long, and, like, they have to find ways to get rid of the hair and stuff.
This is where Brendan's fetish for being smeared in shit started.
Ooh.
All right.
That's just going to remind me of, you know, the way butterboards are, like, butterboards are famous now? You heard about this?
No.
So, you know the way, like, a charcuterie board's, like, a bunch of, like, yummy food all just mushed together? So, a butter board is, like, a board with butter and all, like, flavors and shit, and you, like, get bread and, like, dip it in the butter. It is so annoying. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, no.
Wait, so it's just literally a plate of butter?
Yeah, with butters? Like rosemary and thyme and a bit of olive oil and shit. It's just like, just butter bread, you fucking idiots.
Do you think we should veer into some like mungbak, like, you know, those YouTubers who like just eat garbage until they like throw up kind of stuff?
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. I just figured we could, like, expand out.
What you do with your personal time is up to you.
All right. Let's go back to the film.
you don't have to
I think people like to know how the sausage is made, you know?
No.
All right. So, Arvin Malhousie on Letterboxd gives it 2 stars. And they say... I was getting some slop during 89% of the duration of this movie. Don't ask me what happened.
What?
Can someone explain what he's talking about?
I don't know. What do you think? I was getting some slop.
It sounds sexual. It
sounds super dirty.
If you know what that means, email the swapcastpodcast@gmail.com.
With slop in the subject.
I'm putting it in Urban Dictionary.
Getting some slop. I mean, that is a great way to say I'm having sex.
I thought it would be getting sloppy seconds, right?
Yeah, it's oral sex.
So, this guy was getting a blowjob 89... What's 89% of an hour and 20 minutes? That's a long blowjob. Good on you, like... Arvin. This one was on the YouTube comments of the... All the rest of them are from the YouTube comments because that's the only other place I could find people talking about this film.
Sorry, just like... this do you think you'd be using that term now, Paul?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Every day. So this one's from Future Boy on YouTube, and he says, I watched this film endlessly as a kid and fantasized about using Lloyd's machine to make myself 30, just like Danny did. Now rewatching all these years later, I want to use Lloyd's machine to make myself 14 again.
Not 14. No way.
Hmm.
Nah, it's not an age I would choose.
Nah.
Like, at least go like 19. 19, 20, I would go back.
Nah, it was all bad until about 27.
It'd just be nice to have hair again. Anyway. this one's from JC Munoz, and he says, fun fact, the main character would go on to be Mark, who was one of the reasons behind Ross and Rachel's break. So he is right. The guy that played the main character, he played Mark on Friends for 6 episodes.
And he was a total dog. And I'm sorry, but Rachel really, like, she did not respect Ross's feelings at all in that. He did the wrong thing, but, like...
Oh, controversial Ross here.
She forced his hand. I kind of hate Rachel.
Yeah. I can't say I'm a fan of any of the characters, to be honest.
No, I really hate Rachel. I want to make, like, a Google Doc of every time she did something annoying.
Is this when they were on a break? Is this that thing? No?
Yes, Brendan.
This one's from Firefox Angle Light, who says, these kind of movies don't exist in the modern world. What ashamed movies today are done on green screen, nothing in real in today's movies, no storyline either.
Wait, so the biggest issue is that movies today...
Use green screens.
I mean,
platform to say.
I see where they're going with it, but.
But I think as three people that host a podcast about body swap films, we can definitely attest to the fact that these films do exist in the modern world.
Yeah.
maybe not with this flavor, but they're still churning them out. And finally, we have Disney 65 fan. Who says, Stephen Eckhold is hot.
That was Brendan. No, Paul.
So what do you think? This could be the beginning of a whole new trend. Vegetable accessories.
That's nice. I'm certainly glad you didn't give me an eggplant.
Good point.
Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'm going to start. My connection is Richard McGonagall, and he played Danny's dad. And I was very excited to discover that he is the voice of Sully in my all-time favorite video game series, Uncharted. So I'm going to recommend the PlayStation exclusive video game series, Uncharted, which does an adventure movie better than most adventure movies. They are... really cinematic, beautiful, fun, funny games, and the voice acting is phenomenal in them. And he in particular plays a really great character in Sully. They recently made this into a movie with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg playing the Sully character.
How did that go?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate the film, but it just didn't feel like Uncharted. Like, as a fan of the video game series, mm-hmm. like, it was not close enough for me, but it was still a fun time. I went and saw it at the cinemas with Brendan, and I think he liked it a lot more than I did.
Yeah, had a good time.
Yeah, but I would recommend anyone.
Like, everyone seems to hate that film.
Yeah. But yeah, the video game series is like universally loved, and it is for a reason. It is a fantastic group of games. If you have a PlayStation in your house and you haven't played Uncharted, like, fix that. And it's a game, like, they do a really good job, even if you're kind of shit at video games,
which is
still
me.
Give it a go, because they have like difficulty settings, and you can just really play it on like super easy mode if you want, just to enjoy the storyline, because the stories are so good that you can just play it for that. So yeah, Uncharted 1, 2, 3 and 4, give it a go.
There you go.
Lucy.
So my connection is one of the writers of this movie. His name is Jim Cruikshank.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're going to recommend.
Oh, baby. I'm doing Sister Act 2, potentially one of the greatest movies ever made.
Did you feel that energy, like his energy in this script as well?
I mean, not really. because I just think Sister Act 2 is like a masterpiece that's just basically unparalleled in this day and age.
Did you hear because Hocus Pocus 2 was so successful this last week, they're probably going to greenlight Sister Act 3.
So I just in for like real. Doing my research for this, I saw a poster that said, Sister Act 3. I was like, oh my God. it has to have Lauryn Hill in it I just loved that movie. I was a choir nerd my whole life and it like was our, I don't know what you call it, but we used to watch it on the way to like music camp and we could act out the whole, we didn't have instruments guys, we could act out the whole their closing number. We could do the whole sequence, you know, like the rap and the like the dance moves and the like my grown-up choir friends have done that at Le Sing and just like really puzzled a lot of people. I love it. It's like we'll take care of you any day of the week. Have you seen it, Brendan?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, good.
Old white lady singing Ball of Confusion. It's so good.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen it in a long time. I think I'm ripe for a rewatch. I don't think I've seen it since it came out.
Oh, my God.
So, really? Yeah, I reckon I've watched it at least, I'm going to say 15 times.
Amazing. Yeah, I think I've probably seen it like 50 times.
Just to sing along.
Maybe, Paul, when you come and see my new house, we'll watch it.
Ah, it sounds good. and it's funny that guy, like, he wrote some pretty, like, iconic films, like Sister Act 2 and also, like, Three Men and a Baby, which is, one of the highest grossing comedies of all time. So,
is it really?
Yeah. And another bizarre film. Like, what other, like, family comedy has, a giant plot about cocaine dealers? All right, so Brendan, what's yours?
Not to bring the mood down.
But you're going to, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I haven't got any other connection. So when I was watching this and it comes to the ending where, you know, a 14-year-old boy is all of a sudden in a pretty heavy relationship with a grown-ass woman. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me of a little film called Let the Right One In.
You're
watching the Swedish film Let Me In original. If you're watching the American one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just how so the film, for anyone who hasn't seen it, I know we all have, but it's about a little boy who's sort of like, you know, he you love him, he's a little bullied young kid, and all of a sudden this young girl who's like a vampire comes into town, and his life is quite literally turned around. And it's very twisted and creepy, and I just sort of the ending of that film sort of reminded me of the ending of this film. So but it is a really good watch. So I would recommend anyone who is looking for something this Halloween. Maybe that's one you can add to your list.
Totally.
Yeah.
And are they making that into a series, or they made it into a series?
Yeah, they
made it into a series.
Yeah, it's been made into a TV series.
Is it going to be American or?
Yeah. The American remake wasn't actually bad.
Okay.
One of the few times, like, the American remake actually, didn't completely desecrate the original film, so.
I got it all planned out. In 4 years, I'll be an adult. Then Miss Noble and I can be together forever. Can't fight destiny, Lloyd.
So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every Body Swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put 14 going on 30 on our lists? I don't think you guys are going to be as enthusiastic about this film as I am.
It's just because you're in love with that guy, isn't it?
No, I had a big smile on my face this entire film. Like, it was just so fun to watch. Yes, on a filmmaking level, maybe it's not, you know, as good as some of the films we've watched, but I'm going to put this in the top 10. I'm putting this in between Big and Detention.
Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. What is that?
So just under Big.
Yeah, so that's number 10 on my list. Like, it's obviously not, it doesn't have the, you know, the filmmaking that Big does and, like,
you
the
liked
amazing...
this better than 13 going on 30.
Yes. I just had such a good time watching this.
I object.
and do you know, like, and the length, it was just, everything about it was just perfect. It was exactly what I felt like watching. You know, maybe I'll watch it on a different day. It wouldn't have gotten to number 10, but today it did.
Oh my God, I'm shocked. I'm going to put it in between Swap Me Baby and Selfless.
This is probably one of our biggest, like, you know, differences with our lists.
What is it? What was the one that I really hated? Detention? Was there another one?
Yeah, Detention was probably the biggest discrepancy because that's in both of our top 10 and that's on the bottom of your list.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough. I tell you what, I am going to put it between, just to make a point, Brother Bear and 13 going on 30.
Oh my God, you loved it as well.
So who would have thought that this film, 2 out of 3 Swapcast hosts, Swapcast, the number one resource on body swapping films on the internet, puts 14 going on 30 above 13 going on 30.
This could be it for me, guys. Jennifer Garner can hear you. She knows what you've done, Paul.
I love her and she knows I love her and this won't change that.
No.
All right. So, next episode, guess what time of year it is, guys?
Halloween.
Yeah, it's spooky season.
So we get
to watch another spooky Halloween body swapping film.
Cool, maybe.
Because we've had a really good track record.
Oh, Freaky. Was Freaky a Halloween one?
No, it wasn't in the Halloween
one. It was supposed
month.
To come out on Halloween, wasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't come out on Halloween, so we did it as a normal episode. We've done, like, Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde. Oh, we've done Possession, the Sarah Michelle Gellar classic Possession.
Please don't do anything near Possession. That was shit.
Well,
it was very bad.
This has something very similar to Possession.
Possessions are body swaps.
The name of the film is quite close to Possession. Because we're doing the 2020 Brandon Cronenberg directed film.
Possessor.
Processor. Starring Sean Bean and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Interesting.
Where an assassin who performs her assignments through possessing the bodies of other individuals finds herself fighting to control the body of her current host.
Should be an interesting rewatch.
Oh, so you've seen it before, Brandon?
I've seen it before.
Okay.
I won't give anything away.
Do you think it'll be an interesting
episode?
I'm
hiding my face behind the microphone.
You've said it all in that one action.
I know you get to see the guy from Girls. I know you get to see his dick in the film. So.
Which guy?
The one
you want to see.
Yeah, the hot one.
Which is which one? Charlie?
I don't know.
The one that's in The Bear now.
Possibly I haven't watched The Bear yet.
Oh,
The Bear's so great. Cliche.
I know. I've got to start watching it. I might start watching it tonight, actually.
You really are hiding your face, Brent.
I don't want to give anything away about the movie. But let's talk about
the Bear. Is it
the
guy from The Bear? That one?
His name's Christopher Abbott in real life.
Is he the one, that, like, Marnie's boyfriend or?
Yeah, Marnie's boyfriend.
The musician or?
Yeah, the one that, no, no.
The original boyfriend.
The original boyfriend, and then he left the show because he hated Lena Dunham.
And then he came back for his one episode and he was a drug addict?
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
Lena Charlie. Dunham was in, Glee?
In Girls.
Oh, Girls.
What the
I could see a, Glee cameo. I could see a Glee cameo for Lena Dunham.
Well, anyway, that will be the next episode. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard it's a crazy film, so I'm hoping there's lots to talk about.
Cool.
We still don't know because Brendan's still hiding his face for what he thinks. Yeah, before we go, I actually do have a listener message that we got sent on Instagram from our lovely listener, Adam. And he says, "Hey, Paul, Lucy and Brendan, love the show. Not sure if this one sticks with the body swap rules for review, but wondering if you'd consider reviewing Malignant as a potential episode. I thought it was a good dose of horror thriller sensationalism and some originality with what might be considered a body swap element thrown in. Anywho, keep up the awesome podcast." So thanks for your feedback, Adam.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
I know Brendan and I have definitely seen Malignant.
I haven't seen Malignant.
Oh, you haven't? It's only me. I think I might add it to the list. It's very borderline, but as I say a lot, we've done a film where a penis becomes a person. we did Mama Boy. I'm happy to bend the rules sometimes. So I'd be interested to see if you guys think it's a body swap film or not. It is a crazy film either way. So do you know the twist, Brendan?
Like, I understand the premise and I'm surprised you would be like, eh, on this one. And we'd watch one where like a person's a cat for 14 minutes.
Exactly. So I think we may have to do Malignant for a future episode. So listen out for that, Adam. But yeah, thanks for the feedback. We really appreciate it. But on that note, don't be a fucking piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify, or send us an email, or just contact us in some fucking way. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.